Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you listening this morning. We're also pleased in this part of the show to have the opportunity to talk with Chile's ambassador to the United States. His name is Mariano Fernandez, and he is here visiting the campus of the University of Illinois, and we're pleased that he could, being on this program, could be part of his time here. Let me just tell you a little bit about him. He has many years' experience in the Foreign Service of Chile. He served as ambassador to the UK, to Spain, to Italy, and to the European Community. Has a law degree from the Catholic University in Santiago in Chile, and also studied political sociology at Bonn University in Germany. As we talk here this morning, questions certainly are welcome. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that means that if it would be a long-distance call for you, use that number, the toll-free number, and we'll be happy to pay for the call. That's 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, and toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
I appreciate it. I think probably that many people in Chile would say that perhaps the darkest period in the country's history would be the 17 years when Augusto Pinochet was the ruler of the country, and the coup that brought that about, the overthrow of Salvador Allende. I was struck by some of the reaction to the death of Mr. Pinochet now a little over a year ago. This was December of 2006. Reading stories about, on the one hand, people who were very angry that he had never been held accountable for the crimes committed by his regime during the time that he was the president. And on the other hand, people who were filled with grief at the news of his death. There were both people demonstrating in the streets because they were angry, and then there were people who were out in the streets who were weeping because of their feelings for him, which I guess would suggest that the reaction to him and his legacy is mixed in Chile.
Well, you can say, you can formulate that way, but the Pinochet period was the darkest period in Chilean history, no mm-hmm. doubt about. Even some Pinochet supporters realized that we have experienced a very, very bad years during Pinochet. A word about the prosecution of violation of human rights. Hmm. It is true that he passed away without a definitive condemn or criminal penalty, but I have high doubts if there are any other country in the world that has prosecuted violation of human rights, including processing, prosecution, and condemns as Chile. Mm-hmm. We are more than 300 processes until today open, and we have a lot of people in jail serving penalties because of the violation of human rights. About people weeping, of course, to dictators radicalize the position in the country. This is very clear. And then there are some people favored by the dictatorship that weep when the dictator pass away. This is absolutely normal, but it's not that we have the society a mixed vision. Mm-hmm. I suppose the broad majority in the Chilean society agree that we have had very dark days.
Yeah. It certainly is true, as you say, that people have been charged and found guilty of human rights abuses that were carried out at that time. So it's not the case that there was no one who was held responsible. He apparently, Pinochet, when he was in power in 1978, put an amnesty in place that would prevent the prosecution of people for those kinds of crimes, and it is still in place. The current president has apparently talked about introducing a bill into the country's Congress that would repeal that amnesty. And it seems clear that she probably has the votes to do that. Do you think that that is likely to happen?
No, but this amnesty 78 is not more practical in force, because the judgment, the decision of the tribunal, had allowed to pass over this amnesty, mm-hmm. because the majority of the crimes are people that disappear, and then disappearing, technically, it is a permanent delict, a permanent crime, until you don't find the corpse or even the body of the person. It disappear remains as delict, as a crime. Then the amnesty rule in 1978 cannot help the criminals to be protected, because the people is disappear, mm-hmm. and then continue to disappear today, 2006 or 2005 or 2000, and they were the process.
It's continued to be an open case still, yes. so that would not be covered.
Doctrinary and criminal law remains an open crime.
So that amnesty would not prevent the prosecution of people for being involved in a disappearance of some.
Doesn't prevent.
One of the things that is true, I think is true of Chile, is that in Latin America today it has one of the strongest economies. And in this whole process of making an assessment of the legacy of Mr. Pinochet, some people, I think, would argue that the fact that he is indeed should get some of the credit for the fact that today Chile does indeed have a strong economy. Do you think that that is true?
I personally don't agree with this assessment, and don't agree because economic measures, no matter what measure, cannot be observed or recognized as the same when you produce these economic decisions with political party forbidden, trade union forbidden, no press, censorship overall, curfew, etc., etc. It is rather different when you propose commercial or economic measures, and you have working political parties, working parliament, independent judiciary tribunals, trade union working, free press, etc. This is the first. And secondly, I don't agree, because during Pinochet, the country went twice to bankruptcy. But many people forget. Mm-hmm. 1974, a year after the coup, we got a bankruptcy. Many people say, well, this was responsible for Allende, the effect of Allende government. Okay, but 1982, 8 years later, the country went to bankruptcy. The GDP go 14 below, minus 14 1 year, minus 3 the other year, and minus 1 the third year. Then, after 1985, we got, let's say, an economy of the survival. And then I don't give any credit, because if the Pinochet government were a little bit democratic, he couldn't continue on power. I cannot imagine, even in the United States or in a European country, in a regular country with democracy, that the country fall the GDP 14%, 3-1, and that the government can continue. Mm-hmm. Well, from this extent, the other will be a much more technical discussion about certain measures to open the country for the foreign trade. All these measures after the final crisis. And then when you have the crisis we have had in the Chilean economy, the people that survive this crisis are very strong in the economy, no matter which kind of economic framework.
Hmm. At the time of the coup in 1973, you were in, as I understand it, you were in living in Germany. And you were in the Foreign Service at that time, in the embassy in Germany.
What it
says on your background is that actually for a period of time after that, I believe you continued to live in Germany, but you were not in in government.
I was fired and I remained in exile in Germany.
So you were fired from your position in the Foreign Service.
Yes.
Because
I didn't agree with the coup.
So how was that period of time for you, that time when you were living, as you would describe it, living in exile in Germany?
Well, I can very, very in a candid way say it was a very nice period for me. I was very lucky. Mm. I was fired. I didn't serve in the dictum. And I was a young man, young just married, let's say. And Germany was living a very beautiful time and was for me a very, very impressive period. I learned a lot. I developed myself. I have had very nice experiences. I became a journalist. I was very active, traveling a lot, knowing many people. No, I was very lucky. Mm-hmm. Not the majority of the case of people living in exile, because myself, I knew the language and I have opportunities that other people didn't have. But I cannot say I was was a suffering period for me. It was not a suffering period, but I am an exception.
Yeah. If you had been in Chile, would you have been in danger at that time?
Of course. For this reason, I remained in exile.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was a very hard period. There were thousands of people killed, simply killed, and many of them of other torture and people's exiled. No, it was a hard period in Chile.
Yeah. You went back in 1982?
Yes.
What were the circumstances involving your going home?
Well, it was allowed to come back to the country. And we Chilean, we love a lot our country. You don't have Chilean immigration, massive, like compared with other countries. We have had a big during Pinochet, but when the doors were opened back, we came back. And we organized, came back to Chile and organized an academic institute that became one of the most important think tanks that helped to restore democracy and to help to provide people for the new government,
mm-hmm.
among them myself.
And then at one point you decided to go back into the Foreign Service again?
Well, more than I decided, when the democracy was restored, the new president, the first president, Mr. Elwin, decided to appoint me as ambassador. I have accepted.
Mm.
And so I continue being ambassador later. And by a spend during the Frei government, 1994 to 2000, I was the deputy minister of foreign affairs, 6 years. Then I have combined these embassies with political responsibilities in my country.
Yeah. Let me introduce again our guest for this hour. Mariano Fernandez is the ambassador to the United States from the Republic of Chile. Has a long experience in government in foreign service. He's served as ambassador of Chile to the United Kingdom, to Spain, Italy, to the European Community. He's also been an academic journalist. He has a law degree from the Catholic University in Santiago in Chile, also studied political sociology at Bonn University in Germany. He is here visiting the campus. Questions certainly are welcome. In fact, we have someone who would like to talk with us, and that's certainly fine. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line that is 800-222-9455. Here is the caller in Champaign, line one. Hello.
Morning, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Your Excellency, I was wondering, not to belabor the point about the Pinochet regime, but I'd be interested for my own knowledge of what you view the degree of American involvement in the assassination. I mean, I've heard things that Kissinger not only knew about it, but we were complicit and such like that. Would you mind talking about that, please?
Well, there is a lot of information here in the United States. There is the report, the Church, Senator Church Commission, that reported and was explained what was the participation of the United States there. I don't like in the position as ambassador today to just to talk about the historic responsibilities because they are published several times, and I suppose that the public opinion knows what happened in the days in Chile. The agenda one point is strict because we have agreed all Chileans that we like very much to report in a very serious form. Allende was not assassinated. Allende committed suicide in the palace.
Okay, that's your view?
No, not my view.
Oh,
no, it's not my view. It is the facts. These are the facts, and he didn't accept to be in jail by the military.
Okay, given accepting that, then, do you think that there is any complicity with the United States in terms of the overthrow, or would you care not to talk about that?
No, well, I don't like to talk about it because it's not my duty today. We are talking here very historically, but really, as ambassador and being the guest of the United States, I don't like to talk about the government of the United States in the overthrow of Allende. This is very well known. You can read in any paper. If you go to Google Internet, you will find all the information necessary.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Others' questions are welcome. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. I do want to ask you, and to the extent that you can comment about one other thing, one other event that actually took place here in the United States, and that was that in September 1976, a prominent opponent of the government, Pinochet government, a former foreign minister, Orlando Letelier, and an associate of his were killed by a bomb that was placed under his car. And this happened in Washington, D.C. It seems to be widely believed that General Pinochet himself ordered this assassination. There are apparently still some questions about what happened. The families of Letelier and his companion, who was also killed, his associate who was killed, Ronnie Moffitt, have continued, I think, for many years now to ask the United States government to release whatever information they have. And the Clinton administration actually did release some information. There still apparently are some things that remain closed, and the current government, the Bush administration, has not been as forthcoming as the Clinton administration. Is this something that the government of Chile takes some interest in?
Well, first of all, Orlando Letelier was killed 100 meters, 300 feet from our residence, where I live now, in Sheridan Circle in Washington. It was a horrendous crime. We pay tribute to Letelier every year in this place. And we have processed, and we have now continued processing this crime. It is open case in the tribunals, and the Chilean government is participating as an affected party in this case. I know that the Letelier's widow, that I know very well, Isabel Margarita Letelier, is asking the American government to release some information based on the Free Information Act or something. And I don't have more information than she has. And we don't know if there are more information or not. What I can tell you that the Chilean government is participating as an active part in a process to prosecute the crime against Orlando Letelier.
Yeah, so that also is considered to be an open case,
yeah, yeah.
One where the investigation is proceeding. Do you expect that at some point, someday, the full details will be known and there will be charges and prosecution for those people who were involved?
Well, this what remains, it is really and not very relevant part, because the main participants are already all condemned. General mm-hmm. Contreras, who instructed Spain, condemned in Chile. There are Cuban participants and American. They are all condemned. Then I suppose that a final rule will come in some time. I don't know when the judge decides that everything is, that all information is available.
This is AM 580 WILL Urbana. Focus 580 is this program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Talking with us this morning in this hour is Mariano Fernandez. He is the ambassador to the United States from the Republic of Chile. Questions, welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. I'd like to get your thoughts on Latin American politics and where Chile today fits. Certainly, there has been a lot written about, in relatively recent years, a kind of a shift to the left in the politics of Latin America, particularly in places like Venezuela, for example, led by Mr. Chavez, and Brazil, and some of the other countries as well. I think that it's correct to say that now for virtually since the end of the time that we're talking about, Chile has been governed by a center-left coalition, and the current president is part of that sort of political tradition. And that although perhaps there are governments in Latin America that are more to the left, certainly of a government of Chile, how do you think about, how do people in Latin America think about this seeming shift in governments to the left side of the political spectrum?
Well, I have a very personal opinion. In my opinion, there are two governments that are historically authentic leftists in Latin America, the Uruguay president and the Chilean president. All others are expressions of the very hopeless societies after the big failure of political parties or traditional political combination. Because if you look at very, very clear, even President Chavez, he was an army officer some time ago. Evo Morales is a trade unionist, very representative of the ethnic situation in Bolivia. Mm-hmm. And even Lula is an old trade unionist. Mm-hmm. And then much more expression of social approach to government than a leftist in the classic way. Then I see that here in the United States there are a broad public opinion that when you see critical approaches, say leftist. And it is, in my opinion, much more complex, because both Uruguay and Chile, both leftist, socialist presidents, behave in a very curious, successful form. Mm-hmm. You know, improving economy, but improving also social and cultural condition in the country, like no other in the continent. This is not that I am saying that because an ambassador is a propagandist or advertising man of his own government, but as a matter of fact, then this is a general situation. The main problem in Latin America, it is that we have had for a long time government that have really wasted the passion of many people. Mm-hmm. And we have now a very different new president or head of state that have much to do with the idea of not get any more traditional politicians on power. The same thing is happening in Ecuador with Mr. Correa. there was an economist, by the way, coming from this university.
Yes, yes.
But leftist in the classical way, I see that it's not exactly what is happening in Latin America.
Mm. Well, how... Let me just ask a further follow-up question. I promise I have a caller here. I won't make them wait too much longer. But if in what sort of basic ways would you say that the political philosophy of President Bachelet would be different from, let us say, the political philosophy of Hugo Chavez? And what really is the big difference, say, between Chile and Venezuela?
We have a well-structured center-left government where socialists, Christian Democrats, and radicals are the participants there. And when I say President Bachelet or President Tabaré Vázquez from Uruguay, they are people that 30 years ago they were member of the Socialist Party. Hugo Chavez 6 years ago was an officer of the armed forces in Venezuela. Then he depends a lot. He said a very wise thing that I have heard from him, say, don't complain or don't blame me because I'm not the cause, I'm the consequence. It is rather different, this mm-hmm. approach. It is depending a lot on circumstances. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's a leftist, but in the classical sense about people that you sit and have a background or long-term background, the two governors, the two Latin American head of state with a tradition in the leftism, in the democratic leftism, are Bachelet and Vázquez. Hmm.
So it sounds as if what you were saying, and I don't mean to put words into your mouth, but it sounds as if you were saying, for example, if you talk about Chavez and Venezuela, that perhaps even though he's generally regarded as being on the left side of the political spectrum, and he may not be all that much different from right-wing governments that might have preceded.
I don't know. I don't. Well, I am in the difficult position to be an ambassador, and it's not my duty to say things. But I read weeks ago. It's funny, and I hope that the people that are hearing us understand myself. The very famous Mexican writer Carlos Fuentes wrote for El País saying Chavez is a tropical Mussolini. You know, no, that means there are many people that can say different things about persons that emerge right now in the very deep political crisis of its own land, like the case of Venezuela or Morales in Bolivia or Correa in Ecuador. You will not say about Bachelet different things that about Erkis, socialist, because it's the same thing 30 years ago, or Tabaré Vázquez. This is the big difference I make. Later, we have more. After that, we should discuss what happened with the governments, how they are leading the country. But thinking personally, leftist in the old way, on the old way of the democratic socialist, no doubt the president of Uruguay and our own president, they accepted to lead the country in coalition. That we have a center left in Uruguay, a modernized left government, that we have free trade agreement with the United States, etc.
Well, let's talk with another caller here, someone on our toll-free line in LaSalle, Illinois. This is line 4, our toll-free line. Hello.
Yes. Hi there.
Yes.
I saw a documentary a couple years ago on either IFC or the Sundance Channel, and it was put on by Christopher Hitchens concerning the overthrow of and the death of Allende and General Schneider. And it said that Allende wanted to nationalized copper companies and the Pepsi, and they got in touch with Nixon, and of course he sent Kissinger over there, and they were, or he didn't send them there, but they were responsible, paid people to kill General Schneider and Allende. And is it true that Kissinger still can't go in the Chile because he could be indicted?
Well, that rightist people killed General Schneider is absolutely true. That government agenda nationalized the by law the copper mines with the unanimous support of parliament is also true. About Kissinger going or not to Chile, I don't have any idea.
Thank you.
All right. Other questions, welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. I do believe that it's true that when the current president, Michelle Bachelet, campaigned, she promised that there would be increased spending on social programs in the country. And that I think that there are some people who feel that that promise has not been fulfilled, or at least not to the extent that it should. And there, I think particularly there was some student demonstrations not all that long ago calling for more money to be put into education. Can you talk about what the program of the government, the current government, is, and particularly, you know, how does the government now respond to criticisms that there should be more spending on public programs?
Well, it is a good question. I will answer you that way. We have had uninterrupted 17 years of really big success politically, economically, culturally, and socially. Mm-hmm. We took power in 1990 when we restored democracy, and we received the country with 44% of the population living below the poverty line declared by the United Nations. Today, the population under poverty is 13%. We have reduced poverty from 44% of population to 13%. And the extreme poverty is reduced to 2% of the population. It is really a big success, and we are very happy. What happened with the students, health care workers, and some other groups, that they see the big success of the economy and the big success in improvement on different things, in pensions and retirement for the old people, etc. And the people trying to say, well, if the pasture is so big, the tart is so big, I like a bigger part of the tart.
A bigger piece of the pie.
A big piece of the... This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. This is the main argument. It is an argument that we accept and we are discussing how the people can get a better part of the pie or better piece, mm-hmm. because we have reduced progress. That means that all the index of poor people are improving, but the index in very rich people are improving much more then, and we should tackle this situation. And now the government, the President Bachelet government, one of the main tasks of that, how we distribute in a better form the money that we are earning. And it's not easy. For instance, this year, 2006, we got a fiscal surplus of $8 billion. That is 4.5% of the GDP. But this money that we would like to spend to improve some social condition is not easy to improve because we have an independent central bank that is very aware and take care of monetary system, especially inflation. And if you put more money in the economy than the economy can accept in regular terms, you will get some inflation, and we have a system that allowed that inflation move between 2 to 4%, not more. Well, the central bank put a higher interest rate, and then the economy doesn't grow so big. And even with this relative, not a small, but a little bit slow growth, in 2006, it was about 4.5. We have this big surplus, and we are discussing now how we can use it in a way that we improve life conditions for the poor people in the country. Mm. But this is the main thing. After 17 years, big success, many people say, I would like a bigger piece of the pie.
Yeah. And is that revenue that you're talking about, is mostly that from copper, and the increases have to do with fairly recent but significant increase in world prices for copper?
Copper plays a key role, but there are many other things that play a key role in Chile, because we are getting export records that are not just produced by copper, but the higher price of pulp and paper, the higher price of fisheries, the higher price of fruits, better prices for some technologies and manufacturers that we export as well. And even the domestic consumption and the domestic economy produce big incomes, because in Chile we collect a lot of taxes. We don't have tax evasion big, like compared with other countries. Mm. Then you collect, especially the add value tax, and you collect it very accurate and efficient form.
We are moving into about our last 10 minutes in this program. Perhaps I will get to another caller here, a couple of other calls. But first, let me again reintroduce our guest. We're speaking with Mariano Fernandez. He is the ambassador to the United States from the Republic of Chile and has been involved in government for a long time, certainly in foreign service. He has served as ambassador of Chile to the United Kingdom, to Spain, Italy, to the European Community. He's been in government. He's been an academic. He's been a journalist. He's here visiting the campus. We're pleased that he could spend some time talking with us. Questions are welcome, 333-9455, and toll-free 800-222-9455. We do have a couple of callers here, and again, people will help us by being brief as we're moving here into our last 10 minutes or so. Charleston is next, line 4. Hello.
Yes. Would your guest be have information about a joint operate fishery in Chile between Walmart and the Chilean fish farm there?
I cannot give you any precise information. What I just know that our fisheries, our fishing company, sell a lot of fish in the United States, among them to Walmart, especially salmon and other seafood and fish, but I don't know if Walmart has a joint venture with some Chilean company.
Well, my information that I goes back a little bit, that there's a huge dead zone being created on the Pacific side, where all the entrails and stuff go into the ocean and creating that sort of havoc. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Well, I don't know. Anything further you want to say? It sounds like you just really don't know.
No, I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, let's talk with someone else here. Kankakee, line 1. Hello.
Your caller appreciates that it might be difficult for a sitting ambassador to answer every question that could be put to him by the audience of the University Broadcasting Service, which also maintains an internet presence. But he has two questions for the ambassador. One, would it please the ambassador to discuss with the United States government its role in the departure of President Allende, if the United States government were to take an interest in discussing said departure with him? And two, what primarily does the ambassador wish to say to this Midwestern United States University community and to the Internet? Thank you.
All right. Well, is it clear? I think we're, again, obviously there are a lot of people who are interested in the role, what the role might have been of the United States in the overthrow of Salvador Allende. And it sounds as even in a sense, yes, that's something that's important to people in Chile. It's something that people on the street in Chile, if you ask them, do you think that the United States was involved? It sounds like people would say, well, yes, we think the United States was involved. But there also seems to be some sense in which people are saying, look, yes, that happened. Yes, that's the past. Yes, we're going to continue to investigate. But there also seems some desire to say, at some point, you've got to move on.
Well, you know, there are some answers that you cannot do in two sentences. And this is, I would not say a difficult answer, but you need time to explain. Because Allende government come in a growing crisis in Latin America, in the middle of the Cold War, working Soviet Union and United States, once again the other, in all continents, in Africa, in Middle East, in Latin America, etc. Then, as I was working as a journalist, I wrote a lot about that. Now, in my position as ambassador, it is not my duty, really. Sometimes you have limits in all your jobs. There are some. It's not my duty today to begin to report about the intervention or not intervention of the United States in the putsch to overthrow Allende in Chile. It was part in this extent, very clear, of the Cold War that we got during the 60s, 70s, at the end of the at the end of the 80s.
It is, as ambassador, certainly it is part of your job to promote your country in the United States. That's part of the job. So then let me ask, as the other question that the caller asked, what would you like people to know about Chile?
Well, it is. Thank you for this kind of question, because it has been a very interesting interview. But we are talking like historians here. we restored democracy 70 years ago. Mm-hmm. Then we are longer in the government than Pinochet. And I would love to have more questions like this. Well, the main interest we have, that is to present my country here, it is, well, as I told you before, we are performing very well. We have high interest in some kind of links with the United States. For instance, it might be a surprise for you, but the United States was in Chile the main foreign investor historically, 1974 to 2005, if you take a figure, a quarter of the foreign direct investment came from the United States. Mm-hmm. Today, we have a very reduced participation of American companies in the Chilean economy. We love to have many Spanish, Finnish, British, Canadian, Australian foreign company. But we love to have more involvement of American companies in the Chilean economy to maintain an open palette of foreign partners. And we are doing along in the country, in different parts of the American territory, seminars and conventions to discuss this issue about high-tech, agriculture, and agri-industry, public work concession, etc. This is one. The secondly, it is that we see today in a relation with the United States that Chile has no big problem with the United States as such. We have two or three small differences. One of them, it is about the criminal court treaty, the Rome Criminal Court, that we signed and we will approve in Parliament. The United States is not ready to sign, but these are things that happen. So we have a broad field to cooperate in different areas. And we would like that people take in account that for several purposes. We like to improve our universal exchanges, for instance. I will devote a time today afternoon or tomorrow with the university authorities how we can improve. We like to improve the tourism to Chile. We have an interesting landscape and we have a traditional American visitor stream that we like to improve as well. We like very much to see the United States more involved helping to redress the economic social situation in Latin America, but cooperating in a very horizontal way. And in this extent, this trip of President Bush starting today to Brazil, Uruguay, Colombia, Guatemala, and Mexico is a positive one, because the American government was very absent of Latin America in the last period. And the other thing, very important, that all American citizens should buy Chilean wine and fruits.
Let me ask you about something else. It's not historical, but it is political somewhat. As you know, I'm sure, here in the United States for a number of years now, there has been some discussion about Social Security and people's concerns that in the future the Social Security system here in the United States is not going to be able to meet the demands of retirees. And some people here in the United States, in the government, particularly in the Republican Party, think that it would be better if people were taking care of their retirement themselves, paying it into a kind of a privatized system. And in this discussion, people have pointed to Chile and said, look, here, they have a system here where people are required to pay 10% of their income into private accounts that they control. And this, again, is something that goes back to the Pinochet time in 1981. And that some people here in the United States who argue for privatizing Social Security point to Chile and said, well, here is a case that shows that it can work. Now, apparently, however, recently in Chile, there has been some conversation about maybe the system is actually not working, that only something like half of the workers in Chile, either half of them haven't participated at all or haven't paid in enough money so that they can get a benefit back that meets even the minimum. And apparently there are some people now talking about the government actually getting involved again and not having it a completely private kind of system. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you are right. In Chile, the privatization produced one very positive effect, an accumulate of money ready to be invested, very important, very, very important, that helped to dynamize the economy. But on the other side, we didn't solve the problem of retirement for everybody. Now the government is producing a reform of this system because the state must contribute to allow a basic amount for retirement for everybody. It is a complete, only market-oriented private system will not work. Pinochet started with the idea, and we are reforming and changing. This is not the case that we will restore just a public system, because the private system in the middle income up, it works. It's like in health. When you have some money, you can have in Chile an exceptional good health in the hospital and clinic, but we are worried about the basic belt of population, that is the poor people that have not the money enough to provide contribution to the private system. And we are in the middle of the discussion, but what I can assure you that private works, but not works properly for the people with low income, because they cannot pay, or even if they pay, they will never get the minimum.
So the idea is that the government is likely going to have to come in and provide some sort of a floor,
yes,
some sort of put in some money at the bottom so that at least everyone will have meet some sort of minimum level.
Exactly. And they also to contribute to some kind of people. For instance, I don't know, in the United States that is the same case, but in Latin America overall, there are the ladies, married or widow, that never participate in a formal working system. Then we are providing now, just because of the age, with a special pension for ladies, for amas de casa.
Housewives.
When they come to a certain age, they will get a minimum pension. These are improvements. to this law, because they were not foreseen in the law, and housewives are human beings and very, very supportive, very important to develop family and to contribute to the society. Hmm.
Well, we're going to have to stop there because we've here come to the end of our time. We want to say very much our thanks to Mariana Fernandez. He is ambassador to the United States from the Republic of Chile. He's here visiting the campus. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
We appreciate it.